Cut them little ones loose. If you have your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Remember May 5th, if you're sitting in this sanctuary, to get up May 5th and pray for a great awakening and revival. You are volunteered to do that. Let's see. Mother's Day will be at the Burtons. Debbie's sitting right over here. If you need directions to her home, please ask. Or do it via Facebook or whatever the case may be. We'll do that next Sunday. Same bat time, same bat channel. Y'all don't understand that reference. You're too young. But anyway, we'll be there 11 o'clock next Sunday. All you, the men that helped volunteer this week, would you please come there and help us kind of park people and get everybody in place and position. Other than that, let's see. Any other announcements? I've never been more sure about a message in my life. I began to work on this message sometime last week, and I don't know why I need to explain this to you guys. Most of you I've pastored for going on 4 years, almost 5 years now. But when I get a message, a lot of times I run it over and over and over in my mind. I kind of know where the scripture is. I go and read it, and God starts developing. It's almost like a Polaroid. All right, never mind. When you took a picture, it wasn't like on an iPhone and you took it and it just showed up. You had to develop it. You either took it somewhere and they developed it, or it developed over time. Okay, so that's exactly kind of what the message, God gives me kind of an understanding, and then all of a sudden I just start running it over and over and over and over. And I kind of preach the message in my mind probably about 100 times. I'll make notes on scratch paper over and over and over again. And, you know, usually on Saturday night or Tuesday night or whenever it is, I kind of settle. I'm like, all right, that's it. I'm good. I'm full. I'm loaded, right? Well, last night, God was not done with the message, apparently. Because every hour on the hour, He woke me up and was like, hey, there's something else. And first thing I got up, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Hey, Lord, I got it. 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it was like God was adding to this message because He finally had gotten me out of the way to put what He wanted. And literally what He was saying is, this is for you. I don't know if anybody else is going to listen to this via on the internet or out there in the parking lot, but let me tell you this, this is for you. And when I get down to the bottom of this message at the end of it, I'm going to give you 4 principles, and I want you to take your iPhone out and make notes in that place. And I'll tell you when I get there. Because guess what? You're gonna have to know that there are 4 principles to sowing that never change. There are 4 principles to sowing that never change. And they don't change for anybody. And when you leave here, I don't care if you know anything else about the message I preach, that those 4 principles, when you leave here, you're going to say, well, I know that. And if you know that, then guess what? Then you're accountable for the wisdom and knowledge you have. Amen? Does that make sense? Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, do y'all see that? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault or a trespass. Do y'all see that? Is that where y'all at? Are y'all out there? Is there 2 amens? All right, good. 2 people. All right. Look, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. There's only one kind of spiritual person. That's a saved person. Amen? You're either spiritual born again or you're spiritually dead. Amen? All right, listen to this. God told me this. I think this was one of the 1 o'clock episodes. Spiritual. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness or gentleness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Write this down. Make a note right here. If somebody who is saved, and you know they're saved by the fruit of their life, they come to you in the spirit of gentleness and meekness because they see your life is jacked up in a sin. Whew. Y'all okay now? They see that your life is jacked up in a sin, and they come to you hat in hand, humble, head down. Okay, listen, man, I need to talk to you. Okay, sis, listen, this is tough. I understand. Listen, bro, listen, man, I got to tell you. They sit down, and they're not, and you want to write a note right here. Nobody wants to correct anybody else. Nobody does. If you like that kind of stuff, you got a problem. Nobody likes to tell people they're doing. No Christian likes to go to another Christian or somebody they love and sit down and say, look where you messed up. Nobody likes to do that. So if somebody loves you enough, they care about you enough to sit down in front of you and say, listen, I need to tell you something. And I'm not telling you this because I think I'm better than you. Matter of fact, I'm telling you this because I can see myself needing your help one day in maybe the same situation and or another situation. Anybody want to run out of here real quick? Sometimes I want to run from a message I do. Sometimes I hear messages, I'm like, man, I wish I didn't have to preach that. And I've run into messages where, man, I wish I didn't have to sit through that. But I want you to know this. God has some people. Listen, I would have never understood this message. About 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, God said, where are you reading in the Bible, Kevin? I said, I'm reading in Proverbs. That's where I'm at. I'm in Proverbs. I hate Proverbs. Proverbs is like riding down a slide of razor blades into a pool of alcohol. If you're smiling right now and you're like, guess what? I want you, that's the truth. It's funny. But guess what? If you've never read them, you wouldn't know. But if you do read them, you know I'm telling you the truth. Have you ever read Proverbs? It's painful. Because Proverbs is like a mirror. It points out every one of your flaws. I know some of y'all ain't got none, but it points out every one of them. And you can't run from them. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm in Proverbs. He said, you know why? Because guess what? You're preaching Galatians chapter 6, and all it is Paul writing to the Galatian church. It's a proverb to the church. He planted the church. He put a seed. He planted the church, and he felt like he was responsible. He felt like a father or a mother to the Galatian church. Listen, if you feel like a mother or a father, or you've planted something or you invested something, you feel like you can speak to it. Some of y'all need to speak into other people's lives that you care about. And let me just make it blunt. And some of you need to speak into your children's lives, period. Stop worrying about everybody else's kids and sow into your kids. God has given them to you to sow into. Speak. Speak godly stuff into their life. They don't want to hear it. It don't matter. It don't matter. Speak anyway. Speak often, speak early, because they need to hear your voice as much as they hear the rest of the world's voice. The proverb, he's seen that church, and he's like, man, he goes, you know, Paul had some experience. He had some people in his life that he had to look at him and go, hey, man, you can't go with me right now because you're messed up. John Mark, they were about to go on a mission trip, and they're sitting there. The boat's packed. They're ready to go. They're ready to pull out. And Paul looks at him and goes, man, you're getting on my last nerve. You're not going with me. Barnabas, you're going to have to take him. All right, I'll take him. You think that was easy? Do you think that was easy? That's not easy. But when you love somebody, you do the hard stuff too. When you love somebody, you sit down and you say, man, this is killing me. This is killing me. Hey, I hope I got some mothers and fathers in here. Have you ever talked to your kids and set them down and you feel like you're just hitting them like with a machine gun? Like what I mean by you just poop, 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 poop. You just want you. Oh, God, I wish I could. Act like my son's not here right now. Hey, have you ever, you catch them and they come in and they're in a good mood and they're eating all your cereal and all your groceries. Eating your favorite ice cream if you've not ate theirs already. Right? And all of a sudden they're just hanging out with you. And all of a sudden, man, you realize all of a sudden the light goes off. And you're sitting there looking at him. You're like, oh, I've got a moment. You just start unloading on them, right? Not in a bad way, right? That's what Paul did. Paul took an opportunity. That's what Proverbs are. That's what Galatians chapter 6 is. He had an opportunity to talk to the church, and he said, while I got you here, I think I'll just fill you full of stuff. Ain't that cool? I do that all the time. Watch this, watch. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. Listen, we all got packs in life. Did y'all know that? We all get a general issue pack, and it's full of stuff. We do. I'll go into that in a minute. But it's loaded. I don't know how yours got loaded, but mine was loaded in Polk County, Tennessee. Ronnie and Linda Shelton, and my brother Ronnie, they helped pack my pack. Yeah, it's jacked up. There's some jacked up stuff in there. Amen? And I helped pack it too. Some more jacked up. But there's some good stuff in there too. But I carry it, right? But what Jesus says is, when you get in a relationship with God and Jesus and get in relationship in the church, that everybody's got their pack. But if you see somebody struggling with their pack, you're supposed to be like Jesus and help them with the pack. You're like, you walk up to him and you say, I know you got your stuff and I know I got my stuff. But I see, God, I see you're still packing stuff into your pack. I can tell you, I tried to pack that myself. Let's take that back out. Golly. I wish I could be real. Y'all, we need to take that back out. You're like, well, don't, what, who you think you are? Listen. I've tried to carry that. Jesus helped me take that out of my pack. Let me help you take that out of your pack, because you don't want to be carrying that. I've carried that. And even if you haven't carried it, you might know somebody who has. I've seen some other people carry that. In the years I've been in ministry now, I've seen some people carry, like you don't want to carry that one right there. Can you please set that down and let me help you with that? Because I want to restore. I'm not doing it because I want to wear you out. I'm not trying to do it because I'm more spiritual than you. I'm doing it because I would like to see you keep walking with me. I'd like to do it because I want you to keep showing up at church. I want to see you raise your kids. I want to see you be the person that God would have you to be. I'm doing it where you can keep walking, not that where you won't fall off, disappear, and nobody hears from you again. One another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 3, for if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceive himself. I hate to tell you this, man. When I see people, somebody say, can you believe so-and-so done this? Can you believe so-and-so done that? I'm like, no, I can believe it. Somebody said, well, how do you know? Because the enemy's still wearing me out. I've been in ministry for a minute now, but guess what? Every day in a wake-up, the devil comes and he tries again. He's in a long game. He's good at what he does. He sets traps and resets traps and traps and resets traps over and over and over. And he keeps coming and setting them out there. And you know what? I avoid a lot of them, but guess what? Sometimes I know that's a trap. Sometimes I don't recognize the trap until it's a little bit too late or I'm a little too close. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. But guess what? I know who I am. I'm a man saved by grace. And the closer I stay to Christ, the better I am. The closer I stay in prayer, the closer I stay in that book, and the closer I stay to being fed spiritually, the better man I am. The minute I get away from that, the minute I veer, the minute I step out, the minute I say, oh, I can handle, oh, I'm strong. I remember one time I was a young Christian. I was a young preacher. I was only been preaching maybe about 6 months, and we had a men's meeting one time. Oh, it was really cool. We had a men's meeting, and they let me come in. Come on, everybody. That's some of my own stuff. But I'd never got invited to the men's meeting at the church. Never mind. I'd never been in church really since I was a kid. But once I got saved, you know, and they said, we value your opinion. We're going to have men here. And we went into a room, and there was a man in there who had a ponytail in a Baptist church. I loved that guy. I was like, man, this dude is the best. He's in a Baptist church, and he has a ponytail. And every once in a while, he would get up and he would sing hymns. And I was thinking, man, that's awesome. But you know what the funny part is? He would get up there and they'd say, can you sing? He'd say, no, not really. But I was in there back there next to my daughter, and I ain't been in church for a while. And I was reading, and I read this hymn, and I really liked it. And I think I want to sing it for y'all. And he couldn't sing. But boy, was it powerful. Because he could see himself in the words, and he could see Christ in the words, and he would read them out. Well, me and him both got invited to the men's meeting, right? And we're all sitting in there with all these spiritual giants, where I thought they were spiritual giants. I thought they were. And I'm sitting in there, and I'm going to keep my mouth shut because this is my first rodeo. And me and the guy sitting there with a ponytail, I'm sitting next to him and he's sitting next to me, and I'm doing pretty good because I ain't got a ponytail. At least. Oh gosh, y'all are so spiritual. I said, if they're going to get into anybody, got to get into him first. And they did. They all come in the room. They're like, hey, guys, you know, we're going to talk about this, talk about that. They're going over some stuff, and they looked at, and one of the men did look at him and said, hey, man. He said, hey, you know, what's up with the ponytail? He goes, I hate it. She goes, really? He goes, let's cut that sucker. You know how bad it's, all right? I want to cut your hair for you. Oh, sorry. He looked at him. I don't like it. I said, why don't you cut it? He goes, well, my wife loves it. Huh? He said, my wife loves it. She loves me having long hair. So I'll keep it as long as she likes it. Whew, everybody in the room's up. What do we do then? Oh, cut your hair, have a miserable time at home, or cut your hair and come have a great, never mind. Y'all are so golly. Y'all were with me right up to the point where I said his wife liked it, and y'all are like, well, man, he ain't very spiritual. Yes, he is. Golly. Then all of a sudden, he's down in there, and they were talking around the room, they're having a conversation, and then finally, he does it again. He raises his hand and goes, I got something to say. They're like, what do you want to say? He goes, I'm struggling. I really am. He goes, what with? He goes, I'm struggling with my music. He goes, I've got everything else. I stopped the drinking. I don't smoke the pot. I don't do this. I ain't running around with the same people. I'm running around. Well, boy, I like me some country music, man. Woo! I love me some country music, man. I really like that stuff. But, man, I love hearing it. I can sing every song. I know the words of every song. One of the men sitting in the room leaned over and said, brother, here's what you got to do. He said, you got to stop listening to it for 2 or 3 years. And then when you're a strong Christian, you can go back to listening to it if you want to. I'm sitting there, man, and this thing inside of me is going, no, don't say it. Keep it to yourself, Kevin. I looked at him and I said, can I say something to you? He said, yeah. I said, what happens when you listen to the music? He goes, I want to go find my old buddies and maybe get drunk. I said, you'll never be strong enough to listen to it. Treat it like that. Don't be mad at me. Don't be sitting here right now going, man, I can't believe that preacher said I can't listen to my country music. I didn't say you. But if the things you do lead you into different things of sin, then stop. It's that sin. You're not strong enough. Y'all, so quiet. Either y'all are getting convicted or y'all are mad or something. But listen, don't think it. I don't think nothing of myself. I know how the enemy works on me. I can never, when I think I'm a strong Christian, I can do it sometimes. I can go, man, I'm spiritual. I've read my Bible, I've prayed, and I went to church. I can handle anything. And the devil goes, what's this? I'm about to hit him right upside the face. And he does. He will walk up and hit me right in the side of the face. Not because he's the devil, because I let him. Because I thought, man, I can handle that. I'm strong spirit. Here's how strong I am. God help me. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you beside me. I can't even breathe. I can't be trusted without you. We've not even got to the 4 points yet. This is what happens when you don't have church for a while. Some of y'all are like, well, I'm glad we ain't having no evening service. It's all right. Y'all can laugh. It's fine. Watch. Verse 4. But let every man prove his own work. And then he shall rejoice in himself alone and not in another. See, I thought for you, man, I had a hard time reading that. Up here at the first two verses, it says, help somebody else carry their load. Then these two verses come along and it says, you're accountable for your own stuff. Right? I'm sitting there looking at him like, wait a minute, that's a mixed signal. No, it's a proverb. It's a proverb, okay? He starts and he says, if you can help somebody else, do it. Restore them as kindly and nicely as possible, amen? And he said, and help them carry their pack, because Christ helped you carry yours. He got helped you get rid of some. But, and then he switches gears and he says, guess what though? He said, but listen to this. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. Verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Whew. I took this man. God really helped me out with this, because I was like, where do we go with that? God said, remember when you was in the Marine Corps? That was a long time ago, 20-something years ago. We had this. We were building up to go on deployment. And every you had to do certain things. You had a PFT. You had a swim qual. You had to do a test. You had to do all these uniform inspections, locker inspections. But the last thing you had to do was a 26-mile force hike. I mean, 26 miles don't sound bad until you have to go on one. 10 miles is a mess on your feet, on your back, on everything. I could tell you stories about people's feet on this hike that would make you sick. But I want to tell you this. You had to pack your pack, and they would say, all right, get out front. And they'd go outside, and you're going to go on this 26, 28-mile hike, and they would check your bag, right? So you had to bring your bag out there, your bag, not somebody else's bag. You had to bring your bag out there. And they would say, all right, empty your bag. Three utility pants, three utility tops, three t-shirts, three pairs of underwear, three pairs of socks, right? Everything. A shelter half, shelter poles, poncho liner, right? You're unpacking all this stuff, and somebody comes by and they make sure that you got all of your stuff, right? They're going to make sure that's all your stuff, everything in there. It's 105 to 110-pound pack, plus all your other gear. Pack it all back up. We're packing all of our pack back up. Pack. Jamming it in there, getting ready. And then, all right, tonight we're doing this 28-mile high. We're just going miles and miles. And all of a sudden, the company commander comes out in front of everybody and says, good news, guys. The hike is now not mandatory. You can have a 72-hour leave. We're going to stop right here, and you can go on leave. That means you're going to be off all weekend. I wasn't saved then. I ain't going to tell you exactly what I said. But I was, stop looking at me that way, you judgmental thing. And I was packing my pack, and I was just as happy. I was like, we're about to go to town. I was living in California at the time. And I was like, oh, my gosh. We are going to be out having a good time tonight, not hiking down the road. Sweating and feet falling apart and blisters and sweat upon sweat. And all of a sudden, our commander, all the other ones dismissed, 1st Battalion, 2nd Battalion, and here we are, 3rd Battalion. He turns around and goes, that's not right. Men, be back out here in 4 hours. We'll start the hike. We're all going. Wait. We go in, everybody's in their barracks just having a fit, right? Having a fit. We did the 28-mile hike. We didn't get back till midnight that night. I'm telling you, feet hurt, back hurt, sweat, everything. Man, it was awful. We were proud, though. We were proud because we did it, nobody else did it. And I carried every bit of my pack. And I got to thinking when I was on that hike a lot, I was like, man, this is heavy. Why do we got to carry this? Why do we got to carry all this stuff? Why do we got to carry? Because guess what? When you carry your own pack, if you ever make it to combat, if you ever make it to the battlefield, if you ever make it to a place where you're going to have to do some fighting, you'll hope you got another pair of socks, another pair of underwear, another pair of a shirt, some change of utilities, and all the MREs you can eat, some water, all the stuff you brought, you'll be glad of it. You'll be like, man, I brought my own stuff. And my shelter half. I want to preach about my shelter half. Back when I was in the Marine Corps, you had a shelter half. That means somebody else had the other half. And you prayed that they packed the other half of the shelter. Never mind. Y'all get that when you get home. But see, God says, I hope you know this. Every person in this room, when you get done with this life, you're going to be held accountable for everything that's in your pack. Amen? Yours, nobody else's. So you're going to have to give an account for everything that's in your life. And if everything in your life has been covered by Jesus Christ, then guess what? You don't have to worry about what's in the pack. But let me tell you this, if you don't get saved and you don't have everything covered, everything in the pack of your life, you're accountable for it. And everything that comes out, you'll be sitting there going, man, I wish that didn't come out. I wish that didn't come out. I wish that didn't come out. Let's go a little bit further. I'm almost done. I promise. I want to give you these 4 points. Take your iPhones out. Go to notes. Don't act like you don't have an iPhone. Some of y'all say, I didn't bring a pencil and paper. So if you didn't, here's your chance to use your iPhone. And don't be using Facebook while I'm just kidding. Y'all ready? What's this? Verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse 6 is this, feed what feeds you. Take care of what takes care of you. Good? All right, let's move into the good stuff. Here you go. Read with me. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Just look at your Bible. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's true. That never changes. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. That doesn't ever change. If you sow to your flesh, that means if you sow into sin, you will reap sin in your flesh. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Anything you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap in everlasting eternity. Okay? So remember that. Watch this. I want y'all to get this. Here we go. Four principles. You make notes. Here we go. I'll go real slow right here because we only got four. And as soon as that fourth one, we're done. I promise. I won't keep you here any longer than those 4 points. Y'all ready? These will never change. And I'm going to kind of give you one for the sinful side and one for the spiritual side on each one, hopefully. Okay, y'all ready? Y'all look like you're ready to do something. For the principles, the four principles of sowing, and all of them start with the letter I. How simple is that? The first one is investment. You reap if you sow. You reap if you sow. Write that one down or make a note. The one is investment. The first one, investment. You reap if you sow. Here's the one for the sinful side. It will happen to you. It will happen to you. I do this. If I'm trying to get away with a trespass, a sin, or something that's wrong, we think we will never have to deal with the outcome. You need to write this down. It will happen to you. It will. Listen, it's just the investment. If you sow it, you're going to reap something. That's an investment part. It will happen to you. Man, all them others, they ain't going to happen. Man, I'm too quick. I'm too fast. I'm too smart. I'm too slick. Come on, man. Help me out right here. Y'all look like a bunch of, I'm too smart. I'm too intelligent. Yeah, that happens to dumb people. That happens to weak people. That happens to poor people. That happens to rich people. That don't happen. It will happen to you. If you find yourself standing right in the face of something that you know that is a sin and you're about to take part of it, it can happen to you. Worst case scenario, it can happen to you. Because if you reap, you're going to sow. That's an investment. Amen? It can happen to you. That's for the saved too. It can happen to you. What if you sow spiritually into other people? Will you reap anything? It's an investment. Yes. It's an investment. What if I sow into myself? What if I get up and read? Will I reap? Yes. What if I start praying? What if it's the worst, most meager prayers that have ever been heard? Yes. It can happen to you too. Have you ever met somebody super spiritual or super strong in faith or super? You go, man, that's a superhero. You know how they got there? They started. They made an investment. They made an investment in their Bible. They made an investment in their church. They made an investment, period. They invested in somebody because there's an investment. You invest, you sow, you reap, period. You sow, you reap. It might not be the biggest. Oh, I'll get into that in a minute. You reap if you sow. That's the first principle. And that don't change for anybody. All right? You reap if you sow. Verse 2, identity. Verse 2. Second one, not verse 2. Second one, identity. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. If you are sowing corruption, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow lying, you're going to get lying. Adultery, you'll get adultery. Fornication, you will get fornication. Alcohol, you'll get alcohol. murmuring and complaining, you'll get murmuring and complaining. Okay? It's one for one. Telling the truth, truth tellers. Faithfulness, faithfulness. You, whatever you're sowing, you'll reap. All right, y'all good? That's identity. It's like if you put peppers in the ground, peppers are going to come out. Amen? There's no way you can sow peppers and then get tomatoes. There's no way. There's no possible way. So whatever you put in the ground, listen, I'm preaching to you. I'm doing it in a good way for you. I'm just slowing it down. But this right here, whatever you're putting down, you're going to sow that. And I hate to tell you this, and I hope I don't get all over my other points, but you don't get to dictate how that comes out. Amen? You don't get to dictate how that comes out. I think of it kind of like, have you ever been to the boat dock? Well, we used to have one up in Polk County, and there was a sign out in the middle of it. I never had a boat. I never owned a boat. I was poor. But every time we'd ride by the boat dock, I seen this sign out in the middle of the thing. It said, no wake. I'm like, what's that? No wake, no wake. I'm sorry, I was a dumb, poor kid. I went swimming at the lake. I didn't go swimming in the boat at the lake. But we'd ride that by that one pond. I said, no wake. What does that mean? Well, guess what? I got a little bit older, and my friend had a boat. And he was not the smartest person. He says, while I go park the truck, I want you to kind of motor around in the water until I get back down there, and then you come by the dock and pick me up. And, man, I'm so dumb. Back then, I'd never drove a boat, but I didn't tell him that. Because why? Because I wanted to drive the boat. Come on. Some of you guys, y'all need to back me up sometimes. Have you ever drove something you didn't know how to drive, but if you told them you didn't know how to drive it, they weren't going to let you drive it? So he's like, you know what you're doing, right? I'm like, yeah, of course. I can't never drive one of these. Go, man, do what you got to do. So as soon as he leaves, I'm like, okay, that's throttle. Everybody knows what that is. I said, all right then. And I rip out of there, and I hear these people hollering, no wake! No wake! Got no wake. What you talking about? So I kind of let out of it, and I floated out through there, and I'm proud of myself. I've not done any damage that I know of. So I turn back around, and I see the doc, and I see my friend walking in there, and I see him looking out there, and I'm like, all right, I need to go pick him up. I come back in, I hear people, no wake, no wake. What are y'all talking about? Some of y'all are looking at me right now going, I can't believe he's our pastor because he don't have no sense. Well, you're the ones that voted for me. Watch this right here. I finally slow it down, and I could see him washing in, and I got all this thing going on, right? I can't tell kind of how to get the boat and him. I'm like, man, the waves are hard for you. I can't figure out how to get up there. He goes, I know you've created so much wake. I said, oh, no wake. No wake. I get it now. No wake, right? And some of y'all are going, what? How's this got doing mess? When you sow, whatever you sow, it goes out, and you really don't know how it's going to affect everybody else. You might be having a, Mike, I was having the time of my life. Have you ever heard a boat motor? Hey, something, oh, never mind, I can't say that word. Hey, something awesome. It was a ski boat. Never mind, I'm sorry. Some of you guys, y'all got to help me every once in a while. It's like, we got more guys here today than we got women. I mean, I love, you know. I can still hear it in my mind. But man, I was having time of my life. I was washing everybody else out. There was people getting ready to go fish. There was kids trying to get on their boat. And here I was having the time of my life. I was washing everybody else out. And I didn't even know it. Some of y'all are having time of your life, but you're washing everybody else out. Right? Because you got an identity. Whatever you're reaping, you're going to sow. I don't care if you walk away and say, I didn't see the crop. You don't have to see the crop to know that it's going to come up. Amen? Here's the third, increase. God, I wish this wasn't true. I don't even have to tell you. This is truth right here, increase. You reap more than you sow. followed by a huge amen by everybody in here who's ever done anything wrong. Amen? Man, I wish it was just, okay, you just get that little bit of information, but you just get that little bit of trouble. You just get this. No, you never. Ask Johnny, ask him, if you put seed in the ground, you're not expecting tomato for tomato, pepper for pepper. If you did, you go broke. What you're expecting is, I'll put that in, and I'll get 3 or 4 or 10 or 20-fold. That's how it works. If you put it in the ground, if it's sin or if it's righteousness, if you put it in, there's no telling what is going to come back and no telling how many numbers, how many generations, how many people in your family, how many situations you got to go through, how many times you got to show up at court, how many times you got to go and go rehab, how many times you'll never, ever know what the end is. Man, you'll be just sitting there praying, God, don't give me a bumper crop. Right? Because you don't get to tell how it comes about, the amount, the increase. Man, that one's true. That never changes. The increase never changes either. Here's the last one, I promise. Interval. You reap later than you sow. You reap later than you sow. And man, I'm going to tell you this. This is either good or bad. I'm going to be honest with you. You don't ever get to know when that crop comes in. You never get to know when that crop comes in. Do you know, I'll speak to the spiritual side first this time. Guess what? You taught a Sunday school class. You showed up at church. You ministered to somebody. You prayed for somebody. You read to somebody. You encouraged somebody. And they come back to you 10 years, 15, 20 years and say, man, you changed my whole life. I had a guy call me on the phone that I ministered to 10 years ago. He's a pastor at the Nazarene Church in Florida. And the last time I seen him, he was drinking at a gas station. The last time I saw him, he was getting drunk at a gas station. He called me just a few days ago. He goes, brother, you can't believe what happened. You sowed into my life. You preached into my life. You loved on me, encouraged me. And guess what? 10 years later, I'm a pastor at the Nazarene Church in Florida, and he sent me a video of him preaching. I'm sitting there going, my gosh, I didn't know that was coming in. I didn't know. But guess what? I hate to tell you this too. I can go back to where I live, Polk County, Tennessee. Me and Mike grew up and shared a lot of the same dirt and grass up there. I can go up there sometimes and walk around. And somebody will say, I know it every time. Hey, Shelton! I say, this is a 50-50 shot right here. Right? That's a 50-50 shot. Because most people either call me preacher now, or Rev Kev, or Kevin, and a few people. But if I hear that, especially in that Polk County type language, hey, I was pumping gas at what we called the Tiger Mart. That's where everybody fought in high school. Sorry. Meet me at the Tiger Mart. I'm like, why would you want to go to a gas station to get in a fight? It was the epicenter of where I grew up. So you go down there, it's pumping gas. Hey, Shelton! I went, this is not going to be a good one. What are you doing now, man? Preaching the gospel. Really? Last time I seen you, you was up no good. Probably. Man, all right, it's good to see you. And you're sitting there going, man, I forgot that I even did stuff like that, right? Last time I seen you, you was doing that. You think, man, I forgot. But you know what? That's one of them. I still got some crops out there. I still got some seed. I still got, man, I can't. Interval. It can come back anytime. I'm not the same old guy. Can I help? Can I preach just one little level over? Can I just preach one? Come on, somebody just say yes. Thank you. All right. Just because I used to be that person, I don't have to pay the price of that old person, though. Because a lot of people say, didn't you used to? Yeah, I used to. And I can do two things for you. I can apologize, and I can try to make it right. But here's what I can't do. I can't be that person for you. I can't stay around and be that person for you. I can't be a wreck for you. I can't just grovel at your feet continuously and say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Listen to this. I am sorry. I am changing. How can I help you? I'm moving on. Amen? But let me tell you something. That interval one, the last two, the increase in the interval are the most two important. You need to know this. Amen? Because you never get to tell how much is coming back, how much trouble you're going to get into, or how much good you're going to do. And that interval, you never know the time frame on that. Long time crops, good or bad. And they could go either way, okay? Let's all stand.